Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Got a great story sent to me by Mark out of New Zealand from the website stuff.co. Man wins $48,000 refund battle over unacceptably loud engine in a Holden V8. So we've discussed whether or not there are lemon laws in other countries. And other countries often have consumer protection laws, but lemon laws themselves with respect to being specifically aimed at cars are an American creature. Now, I know that there are a few other countries that have got lemon laws specifically about cars, but my understanding is that most countries do not. I've mentioned before, and I have to dig the videotape out because it actually is on videotape, but I actually appeared on a BBC program in England years ago talking about lemon laws in America because they did not have them in England at the time. I still don't think they have them specifically, but I'm actually looking at the tape. It doesn't help me to be able to look at it. I got to be able to digitize it and show it to you, so stay tuned. George Block wrote the article about the Kiwi man, and that's what we call people from New Zealand. They're Kiwis. Kiwis are little birds. In America, we think of a kiwi fruit, but in New Zealand, they have a little bird called a kiwi. It's a really, really cool little bird. It's a ground dweller, and they're really neat. But they also call the people of New Zealand Kiwis. A Kiwi man has won his case for a refund after complaining his Holden V8 was too loud. Too loud. Anthony Wilson purchased a 4-year-old Holden Commodore. So, no, it's used. It's even better. Holden Commodore VF2 SSV Redline 6.2L from Value Motors in 2019. But he soon found problems with his powerful Australian muscle car. When it started, it made a noise he described as a guttural knock. Guttural knock. Unlike anything you heard from similar Holdens he had owned previously in his life. The noise went away after the car warmed up. We've all had situations where we've heard this before, that on startup, a car makes a noise and it goes away. And I know 99% of my audience knows this, but I'm going to mention this for the 1% that don't, and the 2% who are lying when they say they do understand it and don't. But, you know, your engine has a lot of metal parts in it. And as things like metal get hot, they expand. So there are tolerances and clearances inside the engine where there's metal parts up against other metal parts. And as those parts expand or contract based on temperature, clearances can get bigger or smaller. And so some cars are noisy on startup, but as they warm up, they get quieter simply because the tolerances change, the clearances change, and so on. But there are other reasons a car could get quieter after it warms up, not the least of which is that a lot of things change also with respect to the ignition and so on. As the engine gets warmed up, literally warmed up. So he took the vehicle back to a dealership shortly after he purchased it. And they said, well, we're not sure about this. So they sent the car to a representative from Holden, which then consulted with the manufacturer. And they said that the engine noise was a standard operating characteristic of the vehicle. That's a common situation where a manufacturer can't fix a problem. So they go, oh, it's normal. The car is supposed to do that. The owner of the car disagreed, so he took his claim for a refund to the Motor Vehicle Disputes Tribunal. So apparently, New Zealand has got a Motor Vehicle Disputes Tribunal that hears these cases, and he's arguing that the car was not of acceptable quality under the Consumer Guarantees Act. It was not of acceptable quality. And so in America, we'd probably call that the implied warranty of merchantability. The implied warranty of merchantability is the concept that an item is fit for its ordinary purpose. So it took him a while to get to where he needed to be, that is to win his case. But the tribunal's judgment notes that Value Motors said there was nothing wrong with the vehicle on the basis of the report from the Holden service agent, and that this was a normal characteristic of the engine. But that finding involved sending a recording. They actually recorded the sound, and they sent that recording to Holden of New Zealand, which advised that no work was needed to rectify the noise along with checking the engine. And by the way, remind me to tell you the story about my uncle in a second. I'll do that. Wilson, the owner, then enlisted the help of a specialist engineer named Mark Mulholland of Llama Engineering. So the story so far has got llamas and Kiwis in it, who had considerable experience with the General Motors LS series engines that are used in that Holden. Mulholland reported the engine had a high level of piston slap with one extremely loud piston. I'm going to try to explain this in a way that people will understand, but a piston is an object shaped similar to this. And it's inside a cylinder, the piston and the cylinder, right? And the piston moves up and down, back and forth. It reciprocates within that cylinder. And the piston is connected at the bottom to a connecting rod that connects to the crankshaft, okay? And where the connecting rod connects to the bottom of the piston, there's a pin that holds it in place. And as the piston goes up and down, you have to understand that the connecting rod has to do this side to side because it is connected to a crankshaft that's going around in a circle, one way or the other, depending if you have the front engine or the back of the engine, or the sides if it's cross-mounted. So because of the fact that that connecting rod's doing this to some degree underneath the thing that's going up and down, okay, it's extremely important that the piston fit perfectly in that cylinder. And if the piston doesn't fit perfectly within that cylinder, the piston could actually, and again, I'm going to refer back to the maple syrup, which actually makes a pretty good stand-in for a piston. If the piston fits perfectly in that cylinder, everything is good. But if there's just a little bit enough room in there, it can actually cause the piston to go side by side because of the fact that there's the rod underneath it going side to side. And so if this is all happening at extremely high rates of speed, you get some noise from the lower part of the piston or the skirt of the piston hitting the wall of the cylinder wall. And they call that piston slap. So Mulholland reported the engine had a high level of piston slap with one extremely loud piston. Piston slap is where the piston rocks laterally in the cylinder, hitting the walls, as opposed to simply moving up and down as desired. Huh. It's kind of like what I said. When placed in drive with the engine slightly loaded, the car was unacceptably loud, Mulholland said. And that's the situation, is that as you put the engine under load, increasing the RPMs and so on, it's going to cause some of those characteristics to become more pronounced, as we would say. He warned Wilson not to drive the car in his present state and wrote a report saying the level of piston slap was damaging the engine. And that's the problem. The piston is not designed to slap against the cylinder wall. And if that's happening many, many times per minute, then you're going to get some damage either to the piston or the cylinder wall or both. Neither of which are good. To find out what cylinder was making the noise would at minimum require a basic rebuild of the engine, costing thousands, or at worst, a complete teardown and rebuild costing upwards of $11,000. And I suspect we're talking New Zealand dollars here, and I don't know how they translate, but they said the car was a $48,000 car, but again, I think those are New Zealand or Kiwi dollars, as we would call them. In response, Value Motors produced a report by Carl Pemberton, an automotive engineer of Auto Assess. Pemberton said there was no evidence of mechanical failure and therefore no need for repairs. Piston slap, he said, was extremely common on that type of V8 engine. However, an assessor for the tribunal said after having listened to the recording of the engine, there was a clear case of piston slap. In his experience, the noise gave cause for concern about the longevity of the engine because pistons were more likely to crack when they made such noise. So it sounds like the tribunal itself sent out an independent expert, and I have no problem them doing that. Because it's like, hey, look, one side says yes, one side says no. Why don't we pick someone and have them go out and see what they say? Tribunal adjudicator Jason McHaren said he and the assessor preferred Mulholland's evidence to that of Pemberton and the earlier assessment at Brendan Foot Super site commissioned by the dealer. I accept Mr. Mulholland's evidence that the excessive mechanical noise undermines confidence in the engine's longevity. On that basis, he concluded, the car failed to meet the acceptable quality guarantee in the Consumer Guarantees Act. The tribunal ordered Value Motors to refund the full purchase price of the vehicle, $47,995, within 14 days. So that's the man winning $48,000 refund battle over an unacceptably loud engine in Holden V8. And Mark, thank you for the story from Stuff.co. And now you know everything you need to know about piston slap. That's a good day, isn't it? I mentioned my uncle earlier. I had an uncle. His name was Les. My uncle Les. And Uncle Les, among other things, was a mechanic. Very, very talented mechanic. Spent his entire life wrenching on cars professionally. And in his earlier days, he actually raced in stock car racing in both NASCAR and USAC. And he didn't make much of a dent in NASCAR. It was very, very expensive even back then in the early 60s to race in NASCAR competitively, but he raced in USAC and ARCA races around the Midwest, and he drove Ford. I'll forgive him, but he drove Ford, and he actually got to know a bunch of people in the big leagues, including Benny Parsons, who won the national championship a few years later. He also met A.J. Foyt and Richard Petty and a bunch of the guys from back in those days. And so my uncle Les was an extremely talented mechanic, as I said. And I remember one time my older brother had a Buick, big Buick boat, you know, Buick with four doors and about 19,000 pounds. Huge car. And I forgot what engine it had in it, but it had a V8 engine in it. And one day he went out to start it and it started making this racket. Now, I've been around a lot of cars and I've heard a lot of racket, okay? And I remember hearing that noise, like, oh, like in another room, cowering for fear that, like, there's some shrapnel flying through the walls or something. Tim shuts it up. He's like, oh, what's this? And we're sitting around wondering what that noise could possibly be. And the question is, do we start it again? Do we drive it someplace? And I kid you not, Tim goes, why don't we call Uncle Leslie and ask him? Let's ask Uncle Les. Maybe he'll know. So Tim calls up my uncle and goes, hey, Uncle Les. Hate to bug you. Got a question for you. My Buick describes make, model, year, all that stuff, is making this noise. And I'm sure if you've ever listened to the guys on NPR, you know, Car Talk, they'd actually ask people to describe noises, and it'd be comical. People would go, well, it's making a click, click, click noise, or it's making a yak, yak, yak noise, or whatever. My Uncle Les goes, well, are you on a mobile phone? This is back, you know, when they first came out with the telewalkies, you know, the actual phone that had a big antenna on it, you walk around the house with it. And Tim goes, yeah. And he goes, take the phone outside and start the car for me. So Tim goes outside, starts the car, and holds the phone up. And Uncle Les goes, shut it off. And Tim shuts it off. He goes, broken flywheel. Broken flywheel. That's what it was. Now, I've never fixed a broken flywheel. I've never dealt with a broken flywheel before. I know what a flywheel is. And I'm not going to get into an explanation for it, because I haven't got a model for you that would do a flywheel as well as this maple syrup does a piston. But the flywheel was, in fact, broken on my brother's Buick. And he then took it out and got it fixed. So my Uncle Les diagnosed the car over the phone. So it's not impossible for these people to hear a recording of the sound. But I'm skeptical of that, simply because if I take the recorder and stick it right up against the thing that's making the noise, it's going to sound like a, you know, cataclysm. And if I take the recorder and hold it across the room on the other side of the car, you know, while people are sipping coffee and you actually hear the coffee percolating in the background, it's not going to sound so bad, you know. And what this really does tell me is the people who heard the sound at Holden actually said, oh, yeah, we've heard that sound many times before. That's the sound these things all make. And there are going to be engineers in the audience to this video, some of whom I will ask to please comment below. Because I suspect there's something about those engines in their design that makes them prone to having a situation that leads to the piston slap. And whether it's slightly different tolerances on the pistons or something, I don't know. I don't know. And every now and then you hear about the car companies that would try something with one particular engine, and that they would try something, it would be an experiment that failed, okay? And there have been examples of really, really wacky things that they have done. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there's something about those engines that makes them prone to piston slap. And once they put a bunch of them on the road and they all have it, they can say, yeah, it's normal for that car or that engine. Yeah, it's normal, but still doesn't make it right. Otherwise, the dual clutch transmission from Ford is normal. Doesn't work. That's the normal condition flows, is they don't work, you know. So there's a piston slap out of New Zealand and a win for the consumers, the Kiwi consumers, under New Zealand's equivalent of the lemon law. Questions, comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Live in the moment. It's all you've got.